Hey, and welcome to the Pathway Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here to join us. We hope that this podcast inspires you to live life both for God and your city. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all of our most recent episodes. And remember to leave us a 5-star rating. Enjoy the message.
I don't know how you feel, but it feels like to me the last several weeks, there's just been an increase in the temperature in the room. There has been, I don't really know how to describe it. It's just, things weren't bad. They're just getting better. And God is at work. And I feel like God wants to do something special for today. So I want to talk to you as we come out of a season where we have been battling and we have been at war. I want to talk to you today about getting the victory. Getting the victory. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and just say, I've got the victory. I've got the victory. And you know what? I'm getting the victory, though, because I know there's more victory, more territory for us to take. This last week, I heard Sammy Rodriguez say, I wonder why now. He said, I wonder why it is that Satan would choose 2020 to unload his entire arsenal, what seems like his entire arsenal, all in one year. Would you just think about it? Think with me just for a second. And, you know, I know we can recount this, and for some of it, it's different. Some it's been more, some it's been less, but for all of us, it's been a lot. I don't want you just to think about the things you faced, but I want you to think about the why behind the what of what you faced. We faced pandemic. We faced racial strife. We've faced political strife. We've faced economic turbulence. We've faced sickness. We've faced mental health challenges like we've never faced them before. I'm telling you that it's something like about midway through last year, the suicide hotlines had experienced a 1,000% increase in phone calls. How many of you know we faced some stuff in 2020? Why? Why did we face this stuff? I wonder what Satan knows that he would unleash so much of this stuff on us all at once. Think about it. A cornered animal will attack like crazy. When you get down to the end of a battle and you know you have lost, you have nothing to lose, and you just, at that point, it's not even about winning. It's about extracting as much pain and suffering as possible. It's like you're going to go out with a bang. I wonder if that's what Satan was thinking, but I know this. I know he sure did unleash some things. I wonder what all we have individually and collectively, what we've experienced and seen. I've certainly seen some things in 2020. I saw some things. I'll never forget when we first realized that we were shutting down. Let me tell you, your pastor had some crazy thoughts about what was going to happen next. You know, I am a preacher. You know, I'm a preacher, but I do other stuff in the church too. You know, I'm a preacher, but I'm also a leader. And I feel 100% responsible for the health of this church, the emotional health, the spiritual health, the financial health, the organizational health. If something goes wrong with the IRS, you know what? They don't come looking for you. They come looking for me. And you guys are on my mind all the time. And it's just a part of what. And so when we went to shut down, I thought, well, how? What's going to happen to the offerings? I know the mortgage is going to still go on. I had all kinds of crazy thoughts. Facing that stuff, thinking through that stuff. But I'll tell you what, I was reminded really quickly that some of the greatest battles we will ever face in life have the tendency to come right on the eve of incredible breakthrough. That some of Satan's biggest battles that he brings against us come right before the morning. The night is the darkest right before the sun bursts onto the scene. So it didn't take me too long to say, you know what, I know, God, that you have something going. And it didn't take me too long to go from just thinking that to knowing that to seeing that. Listen, I saw too many miracles happen in 2020 to even wonder if God is paying attention to us. I don't want to do 2020 again. But there's a little part of me that I've got a little twinkle in my eye, and I just want to say to Satan, you brought it, but God stepped up in a big way, and he has been put down. And one day, he will be finally put down. Anything that happens between now and then is just the enemy throwing a temper tantrum. So you don't get caught up in your temporary moment where there is truly pain. There truly is suffering. There truly is grief. There truly is mourning. There truly is financial difficulty. There truly is racial tension. There truly is political tension. All of that stuff is true. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life. Jesus Christ is the Lord of this house. He's the Lord of the battlefield. And he is victorious. And we're in him. That's pretty exciting to me. Now, it was reported in all kinds of studies. I have seen church experts who I love. I've read them, I follow them. You know, it kind of be irresponsible for me not to study in my field, right? It would be kind of crazy for me not to listen to people that are experienced and have been around, and historians who know history. Because if you don't know history, then you're doomed to repeat it. So we ought to be down in this stuff. But I'll tell you what, I'll be honest. I have muted and unsubscribed some of my favorite church experts in 2020 and 2021. Every day when I see the emails come through, I'm like, oh man, I missed one. Unsubscribe. I'll get you later. I'll resubscribe later. But right now, I don't want to hear anymore. It was reported that 35 to 40% of attendance, pre-COVID attendance, will never attend church again. Let me just say, Pathway Church, no stinking way. It's not going to happen. And you know, I'm not looking for us just to survive. You have not heard me one time come to this pulpit and say, please, would you give? We really need to keep the lights on. We're not going to do that. We're vision. We're victory. We're triumphant. We're moving forward. We're taking ground. We're not just trying to survive or make it. We are a victorious church. We're not a scrawny, emaciated church. Look, you have bought into the mission of Jesus. You are gospel people. I know that you have had times where you thought, what's going to happen next? But I watch and you give and you serve and you love. People ask me, how do you get so many people to volunteer for the food giveaway? Or how many people do you need for the food giveaway? We're not looking for how many people we need. We're mobilizing as many people as we can to love on our community because we love our community. We don't want to just do the base level. We don't want to just do the minimum accepted level of service and ministry and giving, because we have an expectation that God is mighty. He's powerful to save. He is at work. He's not limited by 2020. The Holy Spirit is not less powerful today than when the Holy Spirit resurrected Jesus from the dead. 2020 isn't smarter than the past. Look, we have a victorious God. I don't want to be the church. I don't want to be the pastor that just gently lays the church down so it can go to sleep and rest and die a dignified life. No, we are victorious and we're mighty in Christ. But boy, it's been a thing. It's been a thing. I just don't have much of a stomach for the doomsday reporters about the church. I just don't want to hear it. If that's what you want to hear, go find a church that's shriveling up and dying. It's not much of a church. You go find that place that's not a place of faith, a place of doom, a place of fear. Look, we have victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe that today? Come on, bless them then. Let me just declare some things right now. Pathway Church, we are not looking to just make it. Buckle up. Our best days are this year. This year. Mobile, put your seatbelt on. Let me say, Pastor Adam, you know, we have a student ministry pastor at Airport Campus. We've never had two student ministry pastors before, but we sure do have one at Airport Campus. Pastor Cody, our student ministry pastor here at Moffitt. You guys just stand right where you are. Adam, stand. Cody, stand. You guys bless our student ministry, guys. Hey, just keep standing. Keep standing. Pastor Adam and Airport Campus had their biggest youth group attendance in the history of Airport Campus this last Wednesday night. Come on, man. You guys bless the Lord for that. Pastor Cody told me the other night, we were at a soccer game Friday night, and he said, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do about chairs and spacing and all of that. I said, let's keep figuring out. Let's keep going. Let's don't pull back. Let's don't just try and make it just like it is. Cody, you empty out the schools in Mobile and give them Jesus with everything you've got. Student ministry right now at Moffitt Campus is the biggest it's been in 5 years. Come on, man. Give the Lord a great big hand clap. Come on. Freddie Todd, Chad Pesno, you guys get more chairs out in Connect Class. We got more people that are coming into the church. So work your game. Handle your business. Work like everything is up to you and pray like everything is up to God. But revival is happening in Connect Class. You guys better bring it. Andrick, I know that you have been working, getting more chairs out every single week. And I know you're trying to figure out the tactics, the logistics on how to get chairs and where. Keep doing it because the seats every single week are filling up. God is in this house. God is working this thing out. That's exciting, isn't it? Aren't you so thankful that God is working? But what's happening right now is not what's happening right now. What in the world? Somebody hand me a Bible. That's a murder hornet. See, 2021, the enemy's got it. That's all he's got? Come on. Yeah, there are bigger dreams on the horizon. In fact, when I just close my eyes and I think about that beautiful campus, Airport Campus, it wasn't not even there. We were not even having services 4 years ago. We got three services over there every weekend right now. And I see that beautiful green space just on the east of that campus, and I'm just envisioning right now a building coming up out of that ground for a bigger auditorium at Airport Campus. That's just what I'm thinking and dreaming and feeling. And, you know, we're not just trying to make it. We want to expand the borders of our tent. There is a harvest in this city, and we want to get right down in the middle of it. So we're not looking for survival. We're looking to thrive and to be revived and to take ground and move forward. I want to share a passage with you, 1 Samuel chapter 30, that describes a battle similar to what we've been in. And this battle is important because it can help us know what to do next. It's important that we handle now, right? But it's important that we get ready and we step into our next, step into our future. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children, everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. How many of you looked around and have seen some ruins from the attack of the enemy this year? Verse 6, David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. I want you to think about that for a second, and I want to remind you of something. This battle that has been brought to us by the enemy, did anybody expect that we would be at this moment this time last year? Not me. Not me, I didn't expect that. We were minding our own business. But the enemy brought it. Let me just encourage you today. We have been in a battle, and this battle is not against flesh and blood. Cancel culture has divided all kinds of people up. Racial tension has divided all kinds of people up. The pandemic has divided all kinds of people up. I mean, think about it. You can't please everybody. You just can't do it. Don't try. Don't try. It's a fool's errand. You can't do it. How many masks are we supposed to wear? No masks, ever. No masks. How do you please the no mask ever crowd? One mask, always. Even while you're driving in the car all by yourself. I've done it before because I forgot to take it off when I was leaving. No offense, if you do it, man, stay safe, do whatever. What about the two-mask crowd? You can wear a whole box of masks and Fauci still is not gonna be okay with whatever it is you're doing. You're not gonna be able to please everybody, and that's okay. Let's don't be offensive to people, but I'm just trying to take some pressure off. You won't be able to please everybody, and everybody won't be able to please you. And if you walk around ticked off at everybody all the time, then you've taken your eye off the real thing that's going on. Pastor, you spoke too much about racism this last year. Pastor, you didn't speak enough about racism this year. Hey, I didn't like what my neighbor put on Facebook. I didn't like... Listen, it's just not going to work. We'll never hit the right tone. We'll never say the right thing. If you breathe, it doesn't matter if you're tall or short, rich or poor. It doesn't matter where you live. You're going to say stupid stuff. And then you're going to hear stupid stuff. You're going to hear things that you thought you heard that you didn't hear. Listen, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Be careful. Be careful who you're looking at. Be careful if you're about to stone your husband. Be careful if you're about to stone your boss. Be careful if you have now canceled and unfriended your next door neighbor on social media. Be careful. It's not people that we're fighting against. We are fighting against principalities and powers. This is not personal. This is spiritual. What a masterful thing the enemy did. The enemy divided us up. I forget this meme I saw somewhere, but it was about the black ants and the red ants put in an ant farm, and somebody come along and shook up the ant farm, and the ants started attacking each other. They got mad at one another. They didn't get mad at the person shaking up the ant farm. Let me tell you, the enemy is shaking things up. Let's keep our eye on the ball and understand that, even when wrong things are done by real people, you better understand that's a spiritual problem more than it is a personal problem. Pathway Church, do we love people? Yes. Do we love people different than us? Yes. We love the straights. We love the gays. We love the rich. We love the poor. We love the black. We love the brown. We love the white. We love every shade in between, period. We don't love the enemy. That's the battle. So if the enemy has come into our Negev, if the enemy has come into our Ziklag and he has attacked us, let's not turn on one another. In fact, Pathway Church, let's turn up the temperature on love. Let's turn up the temperature on grace. Let's turn up the temperature on compassion. Let's turn up the temperature on care. Hey, and when sin is in our heart, when we find things that are wrong with us, let's deal with those things, but let's love one another and let's get back into the fight. What a thing that the enemy had done here. I like the end, though, of verse 6. Listen to this. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. Bring me the ephod. The ephod is a linen tunic, and then there's a gold breastplate. It comes over the tunic. There's jewels, all kinds of precious stones. The tunic represents God's voice and communication with God. It wasn't that you could just go right into the Holy of Holies and pray. The priest had to go to the Lord on your behalf. So when the priest put on the ephod, it symbolized, hey, I'm going to get with God, and I have the authority to get with God, and I'm walking with him. And so when David had seen this attack, he said, bring me the ephod. This is the redneck version of hold my beer. It's what was going on right in this moment. It's much different. The difference is the Holy Spirit of God. It symbolized God's hand and God's work. It wasn't just an exercise of machismo like redneck's famous last words, watch this. It wasn't just like that, but it was spiritual. It was authoritative. This is the kind of thing that you would do when you were delivering the word of God to the people, the declarative word of God to the people, or you were interceding on behalf of the people to God. So Abiathar brought it. Then on the threshold of 2020, looking into 2021, David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the word of the Lord for this house today is yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. Come on, man, let's bless the Lord really good today. 2020 hit all of us differently. Mourning, grief, sorrow, exhaustion, loneliness, depression, questions, angst. Has anyone experienced loss in 2020? I've experienced loss. I've lost members of my family during this season. I've experienced pain in this season. I felt such tremendous responsibility for every person in this house. I have lifted you up to the Lord. And when I've been able to, I've reached, I've done everything that I know to do. The loss is real. But we were not designed just to take it. We were not designed to just roll over and whatever was taken, whatever was lost, that we just accept it. Listen to verse 19. Nothing was missing. Nothing was missing. I mean, after he's coming out of, will I catch them? And he's saying, yes, you'll get everything back. The Lord said, yes, go after them. You'll recover everything. Verse 19 says, nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and herds. And his men drove them ahead of the other livestock. This plunder belongs to David. So they didn't just get the herds and the livestock, but they came back with plunder. You know what plunder is? That's stuff that wasn't yours when the enemy first attacked you. You're not just in recovery mode. Now you're saying, you know what? I'm taking a finder's fee out of your hide for what you did. Now, reading this passage is a little problematic for me in a very personal way. Kelly and I moved back at the end of last year, back in the fall, and we had goats and chickens. And we no longer have goats and chickens. We've had some marriage counseling. Hey, we're going to be okay. But when I read this passage, Kelly said, and actually we had some friends that chimed in on a text thread with us. My friend, Pastor Scott Shepherd, you guys know and love Pastor Scott, and he'll be here. Actually, he'll be here in a couple weeks. He said, you know, Kelly, what that means? That means you're going to get your goats back and you're going to get the chickens back. And I was like, oh, Lord, help me. And then Kelly chimed up and she said, yeah, and I'm going to get some plunder. Travis, I want a horse to boot. I'm going, oh, Lord, help me. Bottom line, Pathway Church, we're going to get everything back. We're going to get our sons and daughters back. We're going to get our neighbors back. God is going to heal the brokenhearted situations, the division. God is going to touch neighbors that are separated from one another. God's going to put a salve on that situation in your workplace. God is going to heal marriages. God is going to bless the church. He's going to do a lot of things. We're getting everything back and some. Philip, we're going to get everything back. Plus some. We don't want to just keep the lights on. We want this city. We want the nations. We want our sons and daughters for generations. Long after we're gone, until Jesus comes, we're taking plunder. We're taking plunder, period. And you know what I've decided? I've decided that we're not going to wait for a vaccine before we get it back. We're not going to wait for Fauci to say it's okay for you to have revival before we get it back. We're not going to wait until the stock market stops moving up and down so much until we decide that we're going to get back on this road experiencing revival, experiencing God's presence. We want it back, and we want it now. We're not waiting. The guys that are saying 35, 40%, forget all of that. We want to... Let me tell you, one of my friends in Georgia, church is shutting down. You know what has happened to his church? His church is 200% what the attendance was pre-COVID. They've had revival. They've grown right on through this thing. Look, we don't have to sit back and wait for something to happen. We are the something that's happening. God is working inside of each one of us. And, you know, I think the world thinks that we're supposed to be polite. And look, we should be generous. We should be hospitable. We should be good. We should be kind. But we shouldn't be weak. You can smell fear. You can see fear in someone's eyes. We're not going to be afraid. Pathway Church, to quote the great theologian Sean Connery, When they bring a gun, when they bring a knife, you bring a gun. When they put one of ours in the hospital, we put one of theirs in the morgue. We're not just trying to get even. We're not just trying to have retribution. We're going to take not only what the enemy stole, but we're taking the enemy stuff. Mobile belongs to Jesus. When David and his men, verse 1 or verse 3, when David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. They wept until there were no more tears in their tear ducts, nothing else to come out. David saying, I'm saying today, bring me the ephod. I can't weep anymore. I can't cry anymore. I just don't have, it's not in me to do it. I can't do it anymore. I'm too busy. Look, it's okay to mourn, but we're on a battlefield. Let's mourn a little bit and let's fight the enemy. Let's don't get distracted with what's happening. Bring me the ephod. Bring me the presence of God. Lord, we want your presence in this house. We want your presence in our small groups. We want your presence in our family devotions. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord devotions. We want a revival in our youth groups and in our schools. We want Bible studies breaking out that we didn't even authorize or organize. We want God's work, period. We're asking for his presence. And the reality is we have plenty of reason to mourn. We see the ruins of the pandemic with some 500,000 people dead. We see the ruins of racial tension. We see the ruins of political discourse. And again, you know what? We cannot even tolerate someone having their own ideas. We have to cancel everybody's ideas out that don't agree with ours. That's crazy talk. I can't control what other people are doing. But Pathway Church, listen to me. You bear one another's burdens. You care for one another. Look, there are a lot of people in this church that just don't see the same way about things that really don't have an eternal impact. But let's rally together on the things that matter. Let's stay tight with one another. And then when people are trying to cancel out the voice of the church, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I mean, if you need Mr. Rogers for your pastor, I can't do that job. I can't do that job. When people are coming to me, and when legislation is coming up saying that the church has to violate its core biblical principles and hire whoever for whatever that violate, I can't do it. I can't do it. When Christian adoption agencies are told that they have to bow to the trans movement and give our kids to whoever, I can't do it. I can't do it. How in the world can Christian families who are giving money to adopt out children be forced to place children in homes that violate the very heart behind what's causing the money to be given? I can't do it. I just can't do it. That doesn't mean I don't love people. I love the gays. I love trans people. They are created in God's image and God has a purpose for them, but he's calling all of us to come to know Jesus. And once I found Jesus, I want the whole world to know Jesus. I'd rather be accepted by Jesus and rejected by the culture, but I don't want to lose my backbone in the process so that I can please everybody. Come on, it's time for us to fight. It's time for us to love. And we don't have to give up the truth to love people, and we don't have to give up love to tell the truth. We're doing both. We're doing both. Love your neighbor. You're in a battle. Don't let somebody talk you out of carrying the sword of truth or the breastplate of righteousness so you can be accepted by the enemy of your soul. You will never please him unless you give up your eternity with Jesus Christ. Don't do it. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I'd rather that we have Jesus than this building. I'd rather that we have Jesus than money, than things, than power. We got them outnumbered if all we have is Jesus. We're up for this battle, but the mourning was real. The cancel, who said that? The cancel culture is real. The strife in our homes are real. The strife in the White House is real. The strife in the church house is real. The strife in our homes are real. But let me tell you, there is a God that brings us together in unity around the Word of God. And this church ought to be a testimony to that good work. We see the ruins of moral relativism where you can have your truth and I can have my truth. That is not true. There is an absolute truth. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God and line up with truth, it isn't truth. That's called an opinion. But we see the ruins Look, it's not only that moral relativism happens, it's what happens when that is allowed to set up in our lives. Something happens to our children. Something happens in our families. Something happens in our schools. We see the ruins of mental health and depression. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with weeping over these things, but there is something wrong when we continue to weep. David wept when he lost his son, then he washed his face and got up and went on and recovered himself. Jesus wept when he lost his friend Lazarus, but then he resurrected Lazarus and he went on. There's nothing wrong with weeping. The problem isn't weeping. The problem is when the weeping doesn't stop. And there's a time and a place for the weeping to stop. Psalm 30, verse 5, the Bible says, "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning." And theologically, the weeping has to stop. You know why? Because God, Jesus, is not returning for a weeping church. Jesus is not returning for a whiny, emaciated, scrawny, puny, little politically correct church. He's coming for a church that's without spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a victorious church. He's coming for a righteous church. He's coming for a holy church. He's coming for a glorious church. Lift up your head, Pathway Church. You are above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. You are victorious. You're not even an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror, greater than even a conqueror. Walk like it. Come on, man. Fix the way you're sitting. Fix the way you're looking. Fix it. Lift up your head a little bit. Suck it in. I know we need a little help, right? Suck it in and puff it on out. You're one bad mamma jamma. Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit is working in you. Your family is not being lost. God is setting you up for victory. It ought to be informed in the way that we live and work, not weak and cowering, not down and defeated. There's no doubt that the enemy has attacked, but God is at work.
We hope you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all of our most recent episodes and visit pathwaychurch.us/give. We'll see you next week.